A precious, loving family in a house that we call home. The promise of eternal life because of Calvary. A peace that settled in my heart since the day He saved me. Look what God has done. I stand amazed to think of His love. I don't deserve it. There's no way I could earn it. Eternity is not long enough to thank God for all He has done. He's answered prayers I've prayed for years. Never once has He failed me. He's made a way when all I saw was impossibility. My heart bows in worship, my lips sing His praise. We will choose to serve the Lord for the rest of our days. Look what God has done. I stand amazed to think of His love. I don't deserve it. There's no way I could earn it. Eternity is not long enough to thank God for all He has done. He saved me. He gave me a new song to sing. He knows me. He holds me in the shelter of His wing. He's coming to get me. His promise He will keep. As I stand in His presence, my song will repeat. Look what God has done. I stand amazed to think of His love. I don't deserve it. There's no way I could earn it. Eternity is not long enough to thank God for all He has done. Just look at what God has done.
Hey, Miss Saver from the girls. I meant to this morning. I was supposed to introduce them. One job I had this morning, blew it. So anyway, this is Katie over here at the piano. She's our oldest. And then Kayla is the second oldest. And then we have our third oldest is in Honduras. And then our fourth one is Kylie. And then our fifth one is in Oklahoma City at Heartland Baptist Bible College. And then our baby is Callie Jo. And, of course, this is my wife, Jessica. And so... go ahead. So I've introduced all of them to you. So it's your job to tell everybody that's not here tonight. Amen. And so let's turn our Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 28. And I trust you brought your Bible with you and you're ready to turn in it tonight, because we're going to turned to a lot of different passages, and we're going to look at something that's actually in several different places, and so we need to look at the comparative places and look at that. So if you have one of those markers or a few of them, each place you're going to probably want to keep it, because we'll be going back to it. So Matthew 28. But the thing is, I'm not a super fast. I've never been a fast Bible flipper. So if I get there before you, you're really slow. How about that? Matthew 28, verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying..." I still hear pages, so I'll let y'all get there. All right, good. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray together this evening. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. Thankful for this text that you've given us to look at tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd come and meet with us now. Speak to our hearts. And we'll give you the thanks and the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to look at, number one, is we're looking at the Great Commission. If there's one passage in the Bible that gives us the purpose of the church, this is it. Amen? Amen. This if there's one thing that gives us the purpose, what's a church to be about? Well, it's to help people that have need and so we can feed the masses. Right? No. You know, it's so, you know, we can meet the community needs. Right? And so, listen, there's nothing wrong with doing that. We ought to do those things. That's fine. I think it's good to have a good testimony in the community and meet the needs. But listen, if you're going to take one thing that we're going to say, what is the primary purpose of the church? We're going to say, what's the last thing that Jesus said? Matter of fact, when I say the last thing, it's like as he's leaving. Oh, yeah. It isn't, by the way. It wasn't, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. It wasn't like that. Oh, lock up before you leave. It wasn't that kind of thing. It's what he's been telling them all along. And now he says it, listen, puts it together. This is what we're to do here, right? This is the thing. And then we're going to see the parallel passages. So keep your place there and turn over to Mark chapter 16. I know some of you are like, I don't even need to turn there. I know you probably don't, but, you know, I think it's good when we're preaching the book for people to look in the book. Okay, three of you agree. Okay. That's a good start. I got three. Some people learn by hearing, right? Some people learn by their auditory hears, and there's other words. I don't remember the other kind of words for hearing, for learning. But some learn by looking. When you look at it, right, it has a little bit better way to get in a little bit deeper. So I think it's just good to, before I got these glasses, whoa, where'd you go? Oh, there you go. No, before I got these glasses, I couldn't really hardly read. I mean, without them, it's just like little bugs crawling around. You know what I'm saying? Okay, maybe you don't. So I put these on, and I'm like, well, I can read it. So for a while there, this for some weeks and months, I wasn't even looking in the Bible when we were going there. I'm like, I can't see it anyway. And so if I stood back here, I'd look at my wife's from over here. You know that kind of thing. My arm got too short to get there so I could. But I thought, wow, what a difference it makes when we see it ourselves, right? When we can get there and see it. So Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he says this, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, right? Now let's then turn over to Luke and in chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and in verse 45. It says, Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And then let's turn over to the book of Acts in chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8. I know these are new verses. Y'all probably never heard these before. Right? He said, verse 8, he says, but ye shall receive power. All right, good. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, these all being the words of the Lord. See, they're all, in my Bible, they're all red letters. See, these are all the things that came out of his mouth and what he said to his to his church, to the disciples, to those that were gathered. He said, so these they were giving his final instruction of what they were to do with what they had seen. You see, listen, the purpose for those that were following Christ, those that had seen and experienced all that he did, right? And it was not just to have their own relationship with the Lord, but to be the ones that share it. Listen. The apostles weren't just to have a really special relationship with the Lord. Are these still hot? No? Nope. Okay, I'm good. Whew. This stuff doesn't like me. That's all right. We're going to go anyway. All right? Listen, the goal that Jesus Christ was trying to accomplish wasn't just for them to just to have this great experience and this great things that they've seen. It was for the purpose of them experiencing something that was so real, so exciting, so unique, so different from their lives without Christ, that when they got that, it wasn't just so they could have this experience, but it's so they could tell others about it. Turn now to John, to 1 John. First John in chapter 1. He says here, that which is from the beginning. This is John writing this here, and he says, that which was from the beginning, which we, talking about him and the apostles that were there, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may also, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the Great Commission is not really just a mission to fulfill. Think on that just for a moment. The Great Commission isn't just a mission to fulfill. It's a life to maintain. It's not something we do and it's finished. Unless you've reached the whole world. Right? You know how much work it would take to reach the whole world by one person? You say, well, you know, our church has reached the whole world. That's a lot of people. I mean, they say... That's... I'm going to stay back here. You're going to put me in a box. So the world is, what, 7, 8 billion? Oh, maybe it's 9 by now. Who's counting? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it could be, who knows, maybe it's 10. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe Elon Musk can know by now with all these satellites he's got up there. Maybe he knows already. I'm just saying, listen, there's a lot of people. Listen, but it's not just something we complete. We don't fulfill it. It's a life of sharing what we've received. And that's what these apostles, that's what John had said. We had seen it. We've seen it, and that which we've seen, we declare unto you. We're compelled to share it with others. This is a life that's too wonderful to keep to ourselves. You ever been around folks, maybe family members, that you start saying something about, like, church? I mean, you don't even get the whole word church out. You just start... You know, and they don't know if you're talking about chicken or church, but they're assuming you're going to talk about church. They're like, oh, don't start preaching at me, right? You know, I don't know if you've experienced that. You start to try to say something, and you say, yeah, what you really know. So don't start preaching at me. You're like, wow, I was just going to tell you about my life. And there becomes this something, and folks can sometimes get annoyed.
They could get annoyed that we want to tell them about the gospel. You ever met somebody like that? I had a guy, I've had people, all kinds of different people say really nice things. Not really. But they've said some things, ripped up tracks and got angry. Get out of my yard. I had a guy who was so mad, I didn't know what he was going to do, so I just left. You know, I'm like, I'm not saying another word because I want to live to tell it again. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes the world doesn't understand our desire to tell others. You ever been to a place that was so neat? Like maybe some kind of, attraction or museum or that type of thing that was so neat that you came back from it and you wanted to tell everybody about it? You know, some kind of, you know, you went to see Niagara Falls or seen some other thing or some this and that. And you just, it was so neat, you want to tell people about it. And after a little while, people were like, yeah, I know, you already told me. But it's just kind of really exciting. Or a really good restaurant. You know what I mean? You went, oh, you got to know about this place. They have the best whatever, you know. And so you're excited about it. And you tell them, and by the way, everyone does it. The world does it. Everyone does it. I'm just saying, listen, when we receive Christ, it does something to us. It's something, it's not just, yeah, you know, I went and did this, and now I go to church all the time. Like, all it did is change my schedule. No. It's so much more than that. And so, listen, we're compelled to share it. And it's just too wonderful a thing to keep to ourselves. But sometimes other folks just say, I don't know why you're always talking about these. You spend so much time in it. Listen, I'm saying the news is too good. The results of this truth too powerful. First John chapter 1, verse 4, he says this, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What they say, we're trying to tell you so you can have what we have. It's almost too good to explain. It's hard to tell somebody how God has changed my life, and the Lord Jesus Christ has done something in my heart. It's changed my worldview. It changed the way I see things. It changed the way trouble feels. It changed the way. Now there's like this kind of lightness about life, and really almost like a happiness in sorrow. It's weird. It doesn't even make sense. And you're talking about this, and they're like, why are you always talking about this? I don't know. I just can't not. And listen, this is what they were talking about. This message of Christ, the gospel message, is the only resource that brings fulfillment to man. And that's what he says here. He says, and we write these that your joy may be full. The only thing that's really going to bring joy is this message of Jesus Christ. It's the joy that God has intended for every person He's created. You know, a lot of people go around this world, this life, missing and rejecting the greatest thing that this world has to offer. Can I say, many there be that go in there at, right? And you know, many are of this kind of condition. Well, you know, I don't really think, you know, it doesn't look like that much fun. Well, listen, sometimes we're not as good at portraying what Christ has done to us as we ought to be. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we have this great experience, but we kind of don't live as close to, we're not abiding in Christ maybe as we ought to. And so it kind of looks ugly. I've seen some Christian folks, I believe they were saved, but they just weren't a real good example of Christianity. They fussed. They were fussy. They were kind of bitter. They had something up. You know what I'm saying? There was some unforgiveness. Because listen, we're all human. Wouldn't it be great if we got saved and became perfect? Wouldn't that be awesome? We just like actually had halos and we just like, yeah, you know, it doesn't work like that. That's not what it is. So sometimes we're not the best example. I had somebody one time say, well, aren't you supposed to be a Christian? Man, I can't do anything without getting busted. You know what I mean? Yeah, that was a joke. All right. Okay, listen. they seen this thing, and they said, what we want to do is we got to tell others about this. We're compelled to. So second thing is this. It's for all. It is for all. Turn back all the way back there to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. And he says there, go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations. Listen, this is a message that is meant to transcend every culture. So we were in, when we were in Sri Lanka, we go to talk to the Sri Lankans, try to share the gospel with them. Of course, it's a Buddhist nation. They would say Christianity is an American religion. We're Sri Lankan. I say, actually, it's not. It's a Middle Eastern religion. I say, you know, Christianity came from the Middle East. It's where Jesus was born. They kind of give this weird look like, huh? They never heard that. You understand? They never heard that. They said, yeah, it's not. I said, but what it did is they got the message, and then they took it and they began taking it to the West, and they took it to, to Southern Europe, and it went to Northern Europe, and it made its way over here. And now here we are bringing it back over here. So we're almost back to where it started. And so listen, here's what I'm saying to you tonight. It's a message that transcends every culture. I mean, we have nothing. Our culture looks nothing like the Middle East. Right? Praise the Lord for that. I mean, God's hand hadn't been over there. Right? Are you sure? Well, I think we're pretty sure on that one. Right? You go over there, God has done something. But listen, it transcends. There's Christianity in every nation. Isn't that something? Everywhere you go, it's a message that is not to be excluded from any man. Again, now look over in Luke chapter 24. He mentioned it over there. He said, I didn't know we were going to be doing all this work tonight. Well, sometimes it's work, right? Studying and this thing. And I did all the studying part. Now you just have to do the following part. Amen. And so Luke chapter 24 in verse 47, he says it this way. He says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So it's to begin. Watch this. I like what he says. It's to begin from where we are. That's where they were at. It begins from where we are, not in order of preference, but beginning from where we now find ourselves. We don't try to get other cultures in church. We just try to reach whoever's near us. I heard somebody say, we need to reach some younger families. So you go and knock on the door, say, hey, is there any kids here? No? All right, just check. I'm trying to find a house with some kids. Is there any in the neighborhood who want to reach them? They're like, get out of our... That'd be creepy. Don't do that. Listen, we start from where we are and reach who's there. And this is the way God planted it. And we begin from this place. It's not to be excluded from any man. Listen, but it begins where we are, where we find ourselves. Yet no place was to take priority. He says there, over there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says this word, he says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. What's that next word? Okay, let me try that again. What's that next word? One more time. Let me go from the beginning. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's better. Better. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Listen, it is the both commission. The both. It's not the first commission. So it's like saying, hey, do you want cake or ice cream? Y'all know that one, right? I want both. You know, which one do you want first? I want to get there where it kind of gets both on the fork. You know what I mean? Or a spoon, whatever. I don't care. I'm not,
And you don't have to say both. It means at the same time is really what he's talking about. This is a both commission. It means I want you to do. Listen, the Lord intended for this message to be testified, to be told, to be preached and shared to every person equally. Everyone. Back in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Every creature. This choice of word creature is interesting. It points to the fact that God created us for this very purpose. It's a creature to God, there's a creator, and God created man. And God wants every man to get this listed, to know about this work of Christ and to be able to make a decision about Him. Listen, let me say that again. God created this purpose. This God created us to hear about Jesus Christ and to make a decision about Him. By the way, from the beginning, this is what He was doing. From the Old Testament, he was talking about the Messiah that would be coming. And they were putting their trust in the fact that God said He's going to bring someone, a Savior. You see, and here we are today. Our whole purpose in life, can I tell you folks, God created us to know about His Son and to make a decision. By the way, it's not good enough just to know about Him, right? It's more than that. More than that, but it's to know about Him and to hear about Him and make a decision about Him. The gospel message is profound. It's not just our escape from hell. I think we got to do more with it than just as a hell escape, right? I didn't marry my wife just because I didn't want to be single. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't she be so encouraged? Yeah, I guess it's you or nothing. She knows that's not true, but you know what I'm saying? I guess it's either God or hell. All right, I'll be a Christian. Isn't that weird when we kind of lay it out like it is? Salvation isn't, our relationship in Christ isn't just a hell escape. It's the story, the gospel message. It's the story, the account of God the Son leaving His throne to come and pay the price to redeem man from his own sin. It's really it's pretty profound. We are terrible people. Yep, amen. Isn't that a blessing? I want you to be here tonight so I can tell you how terrible you are. We are we're not as terrible as we could possibly be. I've seen more terrible people. I'm glad the real terrible people aren't here and mad that I would say that, because we might be done, right? They're like that in the world. This vicious, vile people. But listen, by the way, he lumps all of those in with liars. he said even liars have their place, right? Have that place with them. It's what he says. He said, listen, we can't do this. And the point isn't that we're to be perfect. He said, listen, and Jesus came and said, listen, these people, they're going to be separated from God for all eternity. And it's not just that we're going to be separated into hell. It's that we're separated from the Creator, the one that cares about us. And there's this message that comes, and it's the message of God the Son saying, Father, I'll go get them. I'll go pay the price for them. What a great love story, if we call it that. It's the unimaginable sacrifice of one that has redeemed creation. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, he says this, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. God wants that message to be heard by all men, all women, all children. You know, there is not one person, listen to what I'm saying to you tonight, there's not one person in all of creation that God doesn't want them to have the opportunity to hear.
Aren't you glad for that? You know, if God would have, I mean, you know, there's people that knew me, would have known me and did know me as a teenager and as a young thug, you know, punk kid. They would say, man, I don't want that kid in my church. You know, when I was a little kid and they brought me, there was a bus that came by, brought me to this church. All I did is I went and stole the donut holes. I ate a lot of them too. I'd say in Sunday school, I'm sorry, I'm confessing tonight. In Sunday school, I would say, can I go use the restroom? I knew there was a plate of donut. They stacked them up all pretty. And so I would unstack them. And I think you were meant to have one or two. I don't know. There was no sign. Right? There's no sign. But I'm saying, you know, I can't remember one time there was kids that were throwing pencils. And they said, don't throw a pencil. You're going to hurt somebody. I threw a pencil stuck in somebody's arm. It's Sunday school. You're like, what's wrong with this kid? I don't, you know, they probably weren't mad when I didn't come back. You know what I'm saying? And listen, there's people, and by the way, that was the good stuff. I mean, that was the not, I mean, that wasn't good, but that wasn't, it gets worse. You know, in our life gets worse. There's a place that we'd say, man, they'd almost, it'd be better off if we didn't have them come around our place. And they're going to, you know, make our stuff dirty and his shoes and the pews and they stink and they're this and that. I'm just saying tonight. God, there's not one person that God doesn't want them to have the opportunity to hear this message. It's a message for every creation of God. What a Savior that would care enough for you. They would keep knocking at your life. Just keep coming and keep coming, and keep coming. You know, I had an aunt that would send me letters. I was not a good kid. I'll share my whole testimony sometime in the future. I don't want to scare you yet. So I had an aunt that she would send me letters, and I thought, oh, that's so sweet. She'd write the gospel in her letter and send it to me. I thought, oh, she's sweet. I just didn't even get it. You know, I'm like, oh, that's sweet. My aunt's sweet. You know, I just didn't even get it. And I have somebody else come and say something. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's nice. And, you know, and I just never would get it. And God just kept coming and kept coming. And my life kept going down. And God just, it's interesting. It's like when I was here, God came to me. When I kind of went down, God came to me. When I got down, God came to me. He just never quit. And he kept coming. And you know, matter of fact, I kind of got down and started coming back up. And there's a place that finally I got to a place that I was willing to hear it. To the best of my knowledge, it was the first time I ever really heard the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for my sin. And all it didn't take me doing, it took me believing and trusting in Him. Wow, it was such an amazing thing. It's just, I think it's fair to say tonight this, that it's the very purpose of this whole existence on earth is to tell of this wonderful work of Christ. Now, I said this morning that our purpose is to produce fruit, but this is also the only purpose. This is the main purpose. Listen, this is not just a story. I mean, we don't share the gospel just to tell of a story, but for the purpose of redeeming man from his own sin. And that's what he said in verse 4 there in 1 John chapter 1. He says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." There isn't anything greater, nothing equal, nothing that even comes close in this world or this life than that message. Nothing. Can I tell you tonight, folks? Are you understanding what I'm saying tonight? Nothing close to that message. And we have it. So, what do we do with that thing? We have the message, right? We have it. We received it. We have it. What do we do? Well, Matthew 28, verse 19 says, what's that first word? Go. Go ye into all the world, right? Go is a present active verb. You know there's going to be English lesson tonight. Okay, it really, here's what it means. It means that it's not a past completed event. He didn't say gone, right? Hey, they went into the world. No, he says go. It's to be a continuous activity that is carried on today. Continue this. This message that is so profound, so wonderful, that has the power to set men free, is to be taken, that's what I'm saying to you tonight, is to be taken in an active way. So it's really what it's talking about. In an active way, this word go is used in some places. The idea, the meaning of it is on a journey, is to a journey. It's talking about this. It means this, though it is, listen, to go purposefully with the gospel message, taking it to all men. It means we're to purposefully do that. But it also means to testify on our journey. You see, it's in a message that we're to take and we're to share. Okay. We're to take and we're to share as we go on our life, through life. It's not a, listen, it's a message that is to be embodied. It's not what we do, but it's who we are. So, listen, what I'm saying tonight is this, it's to be more than a ministry. I'm doing the ministry of soul winning, right? I'm doing the ministry of passing out tracts, or I'm doing the ministry of soul winning, or knocking on doors, or whatever I'm doing. It's to be more than just a ministry. It's to be us. It's just this message we have. It's the message that I'm waiting for the opportunity to give. It's ever at the tip of my tongue and the forefront of my mind. You ever sit there talking to somebody that you know is without Christ, and you're just thinking, how can I get to the conversation where I can tell them about Jesus? I mean, you'd say, are you sitting here thinking tonight, oh yeah, listen, if you've said, no, I've never really thought that, then I'm telling you, you're missing out on something really grand. Really excited. There's people. Now, by the way, sometimes we're too anxious to get it in, and folks that aren't interested, we're trying to shove something down their neck. I don't think that's what Jesus did. I really don't. I think Jesus waited for folks to come to Him, ready for the occasion to come and present it. And I don't think we ought to be what some people call a Bible thumper, always kind of, you know, every time they come and Jesus, we kind of become like freaks. You know, that, I don't think that's the message here. But it's this, we ought to be ever ready for somebody that's there and ever ready on the tip of our tongue. And man, I hope that, and we're sitting there thinking about it. Man, I hope this conversation, you know what I'm doing? I'm trying to steer it a little bit. And hey, so what are you doing Saturday? You know, what about the next day? You know what I'm saying? I'm kind of just being a little funny here, but so that we're trying to think of something, it ought to be on the tip of our tongue, because this is the message of the Christ and His work for us. So we go. Not by external compulsion, but internal. What I mean, it's not because I'm sitting here making you feel guilty that you don't do it. I hate feeling guilty. So I hate it when somebody tries to make me feel guilty about something I'm not doing. You know, and you wonder, are they trying to get me to? Are they trying to get me to do it, or trying to feel bad that I didn't do it? You understand what I'm saying? This guilty and this thing, and like, well, how many people did you tell about Jesus today? Right? So how many people just see saved? And there becomes this thing, you're like, well, you know, we feel like we're a terrible person because we didn't. Listen, by the way, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about there ought to be something internally for those of us that have received Christ, because of who He is and what He's done for me and what He is and what He is for my life and what we've talked about this morning, the joy and the things that are filling up my soul and my life. And it just kind of gets bubbling and it comes out, and folks are like, something's different about them. And you're like, yeah, let me tell you why. I had this person one time, I was walking by, they said, why are you always smiling? This guy I worked with, he said, why are you always smiling? I don't know. I didn't know I was strong. I didn't know I was always strong. I was a young believer. I said, I don't know. It must be Jesus. I'm like, man, I think that was stupid. I could have said a whole lot more. But you know, sometimes there's just, you know, there'll be something in us that comes out. It ought not be something that somebody has to guilt us into it. Listen, this message burns within me. You know why? Because I know it. I'm stirred to tell it to others that don't know it. But God wants them to know it. Because they need to know it. Because it will set them free. I want to tell it. But I don't. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? We got this great thing. Wonderful thing. We've met God. We've met Him. Personally, spiritually, we've met Him. We've become alive. I want to tell everybody about what He's done for me, but I want to tell everybody, but I don't. You know, imagine having a cure that could, you know, cure people of whatever thing, you know, name whatever you want. We think about cancer, whatever. You know, if you take this pill, you'd be cured of cancer. Well, how does it work? Well, you got to take it, drink this, or how much water, whatever. There's a little process. You're like, you know, I want to tell you about it. Listen. And you get somebody down. You say, listen, you find out that somebody says, I got cancer. You're like, ah, man, I got this pill. I got this bottle of pills. If they take it, they'd be fine. But, no, I'm not going to tell them. And, you know, your friend knows you have this bottle of pills. They know you know about it, right? Why don't you go tell them? No, I don't want to tell them. Why not? I don't know why not. It'd be weird, wouldn't it? It's kind of the way we are. We got this great message of how to give people liberty from the sin in their life, the burden of sin. Yet we don't tell them. I mean, how is it that we have this truth that has set us free? We've experienced it, and we see others without it, and yet we would keep it to ourselves. Yet we do want others to have it, don't we? It's such a weird thing. You want me to explain why all that works like that? I wish I could. It's just, you know, I could give you just little things that it's the flesh, you know, the devil that keeps us from it, the flesh, pride. I tell you a lot of the things, but the fact is we want people to be set free. I mean, we do want them to be saved. We want them to be Christ-like. We want them to quit sin and wickedness. I mean, this is our world, our nation today. We just pound on this wicked world. They need to get right with God, right? They need to. We talk about they need to quit abortions. They need to quit this same-sex marriage. They need to quit this thing and they need to quit that thing. We want them to quit all the sin, right? Yeah, amen. We want them to quit the sin. We want them to get right with God, and we want them to just be saved. And if they be saved, they could not do that. But somebody needs to tell them. Isn't that great? Don't you like the somebody? Somebody else? You know? Somebody needs to tell. Well, it wouldn't be me, but somebody. Listen, the Lord has one program to set this world free from their sin. And it starts with us going. We're there in 1 John, and he goes on in verse 5. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 6, he says this, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, what are those next two words? We lie and do not the truth. We cannot claim to be in fellowship with the Lord, but keep His message in darkness. By the way, fellowship doesn't necessarily mean salvation here. It means in a right relationship with Him. And listen, but to say I'm right with God, but I'm hiding His message. Listen tonight, listen to what I'm going to say to you. This isn't meant to be a message of chastisement, but a message of realization. It's not to browbeat us into doing more. It's to reveal to us where we are and how we are in fellowship with the Lord. The answer isn't to do more for Him. It's to be more for Him. And listen, when we are more for Him, I'm sorry. When we become what He wants us to be, and we have a heart set on Him, we're abiding in Him, and we're drawn to Him, what comes out of us is this, I'm telling you, there becomes this compassion to tell others about Christ. And it's not something we can even with, it's almost like it pours out of us, like we're a cup overflowing. And instead of talking about how wicked the world is and how bad the world is and how desperate the world is and how the world needs to get right with God, it becomes this message of what the only answer is. It's amazing. It's amazing how. But it's weird. But it's amazing and it's weird. This is the greatest thing we want to happen, and the only ones that can do it is those with Christ. It's from faith to faith, right? And we don't do it. So the answer isn't just to do more. I want to get that across today. I'm talking about that this morning. And it's not just to do more. I've tried that process of just trying to be better and better and better. I'm going to try better. Let's try more. And still fail in the same kind of ways. And what I found is if instead of trying more, I trust what He's already told me more and just believe it and follow it and draw close to Him and see what He says. And then really, it's just this. And here's the last thing, we're done. That we would go. Not of religious necessity, right? But because what I have received of the Lord is burning within me to give to others. Folks, I think one of the greatest joys that we have in this life is to give. The Bible tells us it's more blessed to give than it is to, right? But we like to get stuff, don't we?
Amen.
Yeah. You like to get a gift? We like to get gifts and presents and things. Oh, hey, I got this for you. Ooh, really? What is it? Oh, you got to open it up. Oh, we're excited about that, right? And it's fun. I mean, as much as we like to get, the Bible tells us it's more blessed to give. I'm telling you, there's nothing more exciting in this world for the believer than to have given the gospel to someone else.
Amen.
And they trust Christ. And they believe. And they follow. I'm telling you, it's exciting. Whew! It's not like normal things. You know, it's not, you know, it's the kind of thing that Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Can you just see Jesus say, whoo, that was exciting. I don't know if Jesus talked like that. I mean, I don't know exactly, but I think He was like, no, they want to give Him stuff. We went and got the food. I know He was hungry and thirsty. I don't know if He even got it, but He's excited about it. He said, listen, I've got, it's just fulfilling. I'm filled with this thing. I tell you, there's nothing more exciting. And yet, we keep it. It's weird, isn't it? So, let's tonight to just think about this way is, Lord, would You give me a realization of my fellowship with You. Burn that thing in me. Refresh. I think sometimes we just need to be refreshed. Revive me again, O Lord. Bring that back to me. Not just the joy of my salvation. Yeah, bring that. But not just that day I got saved. But man, what it's done for me. And let it burn within us. Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight. Lord, would you stir our hearts? Lord, we certainly struggle. There's not a one of us in this room doesn't struggle with this thing. It's our human nature. We have the greatest news. We've experienced the greatest thing. We've received that wonderful gift from You and it's changed our heart. It's caused us to be here on a Sunday night. Lord, it's changed our schedule. Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, You would use that to stir our hearts to remember that there's people out there tonight through our life that don't know. Let's all stand together. Maybe God has spoken to your heart, and maybe brought somebody to your mind that needs to hear. Maybe it's somebody that you work with. Maybe it's a neighbor, a friend, a family member. Maybe ask God to help you, encourage you. Tell them.